There's all kinds of sunshine inside the studio because we've got our good buddy Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus on the line with us. Dunny, how are you, my man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing up there in Northeast Ohio?
Lovely. I mean, it could be a heck of a lot worse this time of the year. As a matter of fact, when we spoke to you last week at this time, we were dusting the snow off our shoulders because it was freezing cold and it was coming down in buckets, but it is much, much better now. Well, obviously things have changed this time of the year in college football. Normally, we're not talking to you about signing day stuff until we get into the first week of February, but it's different now because the NCAA decided to change the rules just a bit. So I wanted to get into the opening or first signing day period for the Buckeyes. You know, everybody's got their rankings about who's the blue chip prospect and these five-star guys and all that stuff. But wanted to get your thoughts on Ohio State's class that they announced yesterday overall.
Oh, overall, as Urban Meyer said, he'll take it. It's a very good class. Number two in the rankings, according to 247sports.com. Also, I believe, rivals as well to Georgia, who overtook Ohio State for the number one spot. 21 overall commits, including 2 to 3 5-stars. Only 18 of the 21 kids are a 4-star or better. So when you start looking at the star system and a 5-star is the best and a 1-star is not the best, you know, for only 3 athletes to be a 3-star, that's pretty dang good.
Yeah, certainly strength in numbers there. And you, of course, when you're that high up the food chain, it's not necessarily the quantity, it's the quality, no doubt about that. But, boy, this signing period in particular, Dunny, seemed to come with quite a bit of drama. If you can, for those who haven't heard this story yet, what kinds of details can you share about the kid that originally committed to Ohio State and then he decided to commit to Clemson instead after hearing some things about Urban Meyer?
You're talking about Jackson Carman, number one offensive tackle in the country. I believe we're number one recruit in the state of Ohio down in Fairfield near Cincinnati. He really was wavering on Ohio State and Clemson. No one really had a good grasp on where he was going until late in the process of him signing, probably around 10 o'clock yesterday. He was signing at 11 when everyone was saying he's going to Clemson. He said that, you know, one of the things that it wasn't a major factor, but it was definitely underlying, was the fact that Dabo Swinney said that, you know, he's not so sure how many years Urban Meyer has left as a head coach at Ohio State. So that one really took everybody by surprise. Not so much of the who it came from, but just the negative recruiting in general, and that came out, and that's just kind of interesting.
Dunny,
you don't hear much about that, I should say.
No, and it's very interesting because I don't know if that's something that a lot of other coaches do. I would have to imagine that things do get pretty dirty in the recruiting process, no question about that.
Is that dirty? I guess that's the question. Is that dirty, or are people perceiving it that way?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, definitely people are perceiving it that way. Just because you don't hear many stories about coaches talking negatively about other teams. You know it happens. You just you know, usually the athletes are pretty mum to talk about what they said. For this actually to come out, it's kind of surprising.
Now, if you look at Coach Meyer's track record, he doesn't stay at places very long, so there's some fairness to what was stated to a very, very small degree. But how is that generally perceived down there in Columbus? Are people thinking that that was awfully dirty by Dabo Swinney? Are they thinking there's some substance to what he said, or are they completely dismissing this altogether?
From everything I'm gathering, they're kind of just dismissing it altogether. Dabo Swinney is only 5 years younger than Urban Meyer. He's 48 and Urban's 53. So it's not like Dabo is far behind Urban when it comes to age and retirement and everything like that. But at the same time, I think, you know, people are just kind of going, what in the world is going on? Like, why would you say something like that?
Well, yeah, especially to a guy who's been incredibly successful at the Division I level for such a long time now. I mean, he's been one of the absolute best at what he does for the better part of 2 decades now. So you wonder why there might be a bit of an attack there, if it's fair to use that phrase. I think it is in this instance, no question about that. Well, We've talked about maybe the guys that they haven't gotten or did not get, rather, on this signing day period. Let's talk about some of the guys that they did get. You know, you talked about how certain publications, certain websites had them ranked as the second best recruiting class so far in this signing period. What do we know about some of the guys that they did get yesterday?
You know, they got Taron Vincent, who is a five-star defensive tackle from the IMG Academy down in Florida. They're really happy with the interior defensive linemen that they got. With Vincent, with Tommy Tagei, and I'm sure I'm butchering that name, from Idaho. He was a last-minute get, and also Antoine Jackson, a JUCO transfer from Blinn Community College. So for them to get three big defensive tackles, that's huge for the class, and also four kids from Ohio. Jalen Gill, who will be an H-back athlete. Dallas Gant, a linebacker from Toledo, Ohio. And also Christian Bluesmith, wide receiver from Heber Heights, Wayne, near Dayton. And also Alex Williams from Pickerington, an athlete who is 6'7". He plays defensive end and tight end for Pickerington North High School here in Central Ohio. He could play anywhere on the field, Urban said.
A lot of homegrown kids. I mean, obviously that's big for Ohio State and tremendous football being played at Ohio. I know we're touching on the guys that they did get, but I wanted to touch on that Jaden Woodby kid out of California who at the last second decided to go down to Florida State. Am I wrong? Has Florida State announced a new head coach yet? Is the guy from Oregon.
Right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's the guy from Willie Taggart from Oregon.
That's right.
The head coach.
How did they pull him in, though?
Jaden Woodby has been committed to Ohio State since last February. And out of nowhere, somebody tweeted he made a tweet saying, you know, future Jim Thorpe Award winner. And a Florida State fan tweeted at him in garnet and gold. And the next thing you know, Jaden Woodby says, they haven't even offered me. And he already had over 30 offers. So that started a whirlwind. 5 hours later, he has an offer from Florida State. A few days later, he's on an official visit in Tallahassee. And 8 days after that, he's signing with the Seminoles. So I don't know if, you know, I know Woodby and Taggart had some sort of relationship when Taggart was trying to recruit him to Oregon. So I don't know if it was just he wanted to play for Willie Taggart or if he just really wanted to be a Seminole and he just didn't have that offer that he needed yet.
I mean, they're playing Southern Miss in their bowl game. I just don't see what the draw is to Florida State. I think that one's got to hurt more than the kid going to Clemson when it comes to recruiting.
I think Jackson Carmen hurts a little bit more just because it's a local Ohio kid.
Sure.
And for an Ohio kid to choose Clemson over hometown Ohio State, that's kind of interesting. But no, losing Jaden Woodby is a very tough loss as well for Ohio State and for Urban Meyer.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. What's the overall consensus on the change in this as far as the time of the year goes? I mean, I remember early February when I was working at Notre Dame College. That was a really busy time of the year because you're bringing in all these new kids. And for the kids, I think it's fantastic. For these high school guys and girls who are very, very excited to announce where they're going to go next, I would imagine that's got to be a really cool moment for them. What's your general thought on what's going on here, moving this thing up essentially 6 weeks or so?
Again, it's not being moved up. It's just an early period. You still have the normal signing day. This year, February 7th, I believe it's the first Wednesday of February is when it is. And so you still have that, and you're still going to have four or five kids signing to Ohio State possibly then as well. But this, as Urban Meyer said, this he believed was supposed to be for the hometown kids, for a player like Jalen Gill, who wasn't going to waver where he was going. But now it turned into, you know, this turned into signing day, and in February it will be, we don't know what it will be. But Urban said that he is not a big fan of it, but he understands that he has to do it in order to keep the Ohio State where they're at. But he definitely is not a fan of it. I believe Dabo Sweeney said he is a fan of the early signing period. You know, you're condensing a lot of recruiting into the 2 weeks in between your bowl game and bowl practice and your championship game and practicing for that. And so, you know, as Urban said, you know, they got done with the Big Ten championship game. They got back to Columbus, and the next day it says to the staff, he said, "All right, guys, see you in 2 weeks." And he was out recruiting, and so was everybody else.
But don't they do that anyways? I mean, when you recruit, it's not like you take any time off. I mean, as soon as you get done coaching, a lot of times you're recruiting, whether that means you're watching some kid on film or you're trying to make contact with them or you're trying to make arrangements to go out and watch them play. I mean, I guess to me, I'm not necessarily buying that that's a bad thing, that they're walking in the day after winning the Big Ten championship and saying, see you later, we've got to go recruit. I kind of feel like they'd be doing that anyways.
I think they would be doing that anyways, but not to the extent that they have to in order to get these kids to sign. These kids to sign in these 3 days that they have. Normally, you'd be able to dilly up bowl practice a little bit more too, and not just be out recruiting, and leave it to your assistants to get the job done when it came to bowl prep. I don't know how much Urban was able to see, because he might have been out recruiting a lot, or assistant coach, you know, Tony Alford or Greg Schiano or Kevin Wilson, how much they were out recruiting compared to years past where they may not have been out as much to do the same thing. Plus, you had all of January to be able to go out and recruit. So it's interesting to see from this year to next year, how the coaching staffs all around the country will be able to adapt to what they did this year, what everybody else did this year to try to get more and better recruits for next year.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I also understand, too, that it's not like they're not recruiting throughout the course of their season. Obviously, your attention's diverted because you want to prepare for the next opponent, but that's part of being a coach. That's part of what you do during the course of the year. That's why you hear about all these assistant coaches a lot of times sleeping at the office, because you're not just coaching and game planning for your opponent and trying to keep tabs on the kids and make sure they're going to class and doing the things they should do. You're also recruiting. That's a big, big part of what they do, too. So, I don't know.
And Urban Meyer said yesterday, the quarterback recruit they got out of Austin, Texas, Matthew Baldwin, that they got him when Ryan Day saw a video and brought it to Urban the week of the Penn State prep, the week they were preparing for Penn State. So, you know, again, as you were saying, they're recruiting 24/7. So it's not just these 2 weeks, but it definitely ramps it up the process of trying to get these kids signed.
I feel like we can have some more fun with this, especially next week. Donnie, you're going down to Dallas, right? Big D sees Mr. Dunnigan on Saturday, right?
The 10 TV sports team departs John Glenn International Airport on Saturday, early Saturday morning. We'll be down there all week, including game day.
Game day is 1 week from today or 1 week from tomorrow?
1 week from tomorrow, the 29th. So it's Friday at 8:30 Eastern.
Very nice. We look forward to having you on next week from Big D. Donnie, always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Great to be on. Thanks a lot, guys, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Donnie. Safe travels down to Dallas as well.